on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, and this is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Would you sell the follow-up T-shirt or koozie or whatever they sell at concerts these days? This show is about performance. This show is about leaving the audience wanting more. And many of you, maybe all of you, are putting on a live performance right now at or Credit Union. Our show is brought to you by Marquee. GoMarquee.com. 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 Like it sounds, not like how I say it. Great family business, well known for their CRM and MCIF solutions, one of the most interesting and creative vendors you will find in the banking marketplace. So go check them out online. Their website is their commercial, and it works. And that's what we're talking about today. Marquee, three brothers, three guys, real men. That's the name of the show today, real men. I honestly believe, not everywhere, but in some places, being confident, being a masculine, take charge kind of dude, that's being devalued. Everybody wants you to be nice. You know, Troy's got committee today, so he may or may not call in. But he calls himself Tough Talking Troy. We're going to talk about that today. The show today is a bit of a break for me from all the editing that I've been doing with our Life Simplified radio program at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. We talked about this, gosh, it seems like a month ago, a few weeks back. Basically, every department, 12 departments, a lot of departments at South Carolina Federal, big credit union, picked a song that represented them and the work that they do either for the employees or for the members. And it was you can't even imagine some of the stuff that would be on this playlist. And then, of course, it was all built around the tempo of Blue, being bright, being a listener, being understanding, and being energetic. And so the second part of this project has been editing the shows together. We had shows where we made mistakes and we had to start over. All of this is being done online, so you're at the whim of my six-year-old, what is this thing, the router? How often do you buy a router? I don't even know. Some programs had to broadcast several times. We can only broadcast one show a day on this channel, on the Radio Free Credit Union channel. And so today, honestly, it's like a break because the editing, the way this whole thing got started, and we're going to talk about this too, I think men are good at linear thinking, and there is a tremendous difference between waiting and doing nothing. Troy and I have been doing this show for 4.5 years, going into our fifth calendar year, and we've never, gotten together and said, hey, let's do this for South Carolina Federal Credit Union. We never did that. Well, this past May, we went out to Myrtle Beach, myself and Scott and Ike, the musicians, and we just did what we always do. Anything you can do, we can do better, exponentially better. And, his president was there, Scott was there, and, South Carolina Federal Credit, hey, we got something in common here. You guys are, it's been an amazing, at times frustrating, at times all the technical problems we've had on this show multiplied because we're still broadcasting a live show, even though it's a private show that only South Carolina Federal can hear. But when you make a mistake, you have to go back and fix it. That's the thing that Scott and Ike taught me, the concept of details. Everything has to be pitch perfect, deliberately said that way, pitch perfect, that musical pitch. When you listen to these shows, Troy says Blue is the tempo of the credit union. And it's such a great message. It has a tempo. The follow-up work and the editing involves posting pictures of the different departments. And some of the pictures are funny and some are serious and some are, like the learning center. They're actively training people. Everyone is decked out in this blue career wear, light blue over dark blue and sweaters. And just everyone doesn't have to dress the same, but they do have to have the same color. And it's a pitch perfect, picture perfect example of branding in what people wear, in what people say, that last thing, energetic. When you call people on the phone, you can tell. if they're punching a clock or if they're enjoying what they're doing. We're going to talk about all of that today about being, you know, and my point is this whole project was led in person on the ground in Charleston by Troy. And when I listen back to the show, I can hear him directing people before and after the show or after we've made a mistake. And so I only broadcast, obviously, the finished product, but I'm privy to all the conversation. And it's actually another musical term. Troy was the director. I was sort of the sound engineer. Megan Corbin was our all-star executive producer. But you can hear Troy taking charge. And I'm telling you, I think there is a, I don't know if it's accidental, I don't know if it's generational, I don't know if it is deliberate, but I feel like there is, right on cue, last night we went to a banquet, a fundraising banquet called Options for Life. It's a Christian organization here in New Braunfels, and they have a banquet each year. They raise money for the ministry that they're involved in. And the speaker is a lady that survived a late-term abortion. It's a pro-life program. And she's talking about how we've emasculated men. And so she has everyone at the end stand up and yell freedom from the movie Braveheart. I did not stand up. It's like, look, I've been saying this for a long time. I'm not going to stand up and have somebody take my picture pretending to be Braveheart. I didn't really even like that movie. It was way, way too long. But sometimes I do go back and watch the fight scenes. Those are pretty cool. So today we're talking about real men taking charge, being a leader, and not worrying about if you're being sensitive enough with people's feelings. I mean, I used to say in my session, isn't there somebody at work, isn't there somebody you know that waits to be offended? They're just always looking for an excuse to be upset and to be offended. I used to say in my spoken session, do them a favor and offend them. Just say something that you know is going to, oh, no, we might get a lawsuit. I get that. All right, hey, folks, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about an email I got right before the show to read a white paper. Would you read a white paper? Would I read a white paper? I don't know. We'll talk about it right after this. The B-52s, their biggest hit of all time, a little bit of Love Shack. While we were doing the Life Simplified Radio, that was the song that the South Carolina Federal Credit Union Mortgage Department picked. I mean, perfect, Love Shack for the mortgage department. And Troy asked me, is that where they say tin roof rusted? I had no idea that's what she says at the beginning of the song until we did this Life Simplified Radio project. So although it's been very, very time-consuming, and now we're putting pictures and stuff like that, it has been time-consuming in a fun way. It's been frustrating at times in a fun way, though, getting a chance to redo something and make it perfect. I've actually really, really enjoyed this. But again, the difference between waiting and doing nothing. Troy and I, we never did anything. We never worked together. We'd do the radio show, but we didn't have a relationship between my company and South Carolina Federal Credit Union outside the radio show. But that changed again. In person, you know, Twitter this, Facebook that, instant messages. It happened because we were in person, and we got to show what we're all about, the difference that we bring to these conference and seminar events. Speaking of conference and seminar events, real men make decisions. Okay, I get a thing from, and I'm not saying this to, doesn't even matter where I got it from, a prominent credit union periodical, and it's them, and they are in partnership with, I guess this is Pulse, Discover Company, and they've got my name right there, so I've obviously given them my email address at some point, and they're asking me a question and offering me a couple different times to read this white paper. And now for me, I mean, I don't work for a credit union. I don't talk about that as a speaking topic. We don't really talk about it a whole lot on the radio program. But maybe there are people out there that would click on that. I always allow for the fact. Troy and I represent, you know, he's a baby boomer, I'm a Gen Xer. We don't really have a millennial factor on the show as a host. But I think Troy and I make up the majority of the people that are going to get this email, and I just wouldn't read it. There's just nothing there for me to read that. But you can't knock the people for sending it out, hoping that somebody does. But again, there's a certain impersonal aspect of it. And I know that's why people go to conference. I tell people all the time, I know you have to go to conference and you have to do things and stuff like that. I don't think conferences are going to go away. I just think there's when you don't understand the difference between waiting and doing nothing, I think people do too much of something. Too many white papers. We used to send out email blasts for the show. Well, people, hey, look, I don't need to get all these emails from you. That's cool. Take me off your list. Well, we never had a list. These are just people we had met at live events. And it's like, hey, you know, it's once a week. Really? Is that too? Yeah. For some people, it was. For some people, it was. And so we stopped doing that. We don't really need to do it. I mean, that's the one good thing about Twitter. That has helped with the radio program and LinkedIn. We do not send out email blasts anymore about the radio show. But anyway, so the difference between waiting and doing nothing. I think by waiting, what we're doing now at South Carolina Federal Credit Union is going to be really, really wire-tight. I was looking at pictures. Again, make decisions. There's too much talking and not enough doing out there. I don't know who made the decision. I know South Carolina Federal Credit Union is a credit union is a male CEO. I don't know if the decision would have been any different. We did that show about women CEOs. We've got nothing against women leaders in the banking marketplace. We celebrate them on this show. But somebody made the decision about career wear. And I'm telling you, looking at these pictures, if I were made the CEO of a credit union today, and the question came before me, like Troy's at committee meeting right now. If we're at strategic planning or something, we had to make a decision. And by the way, it's an investment because clothes aren't cheap, and there are a lot of people that work for South Carolina Federal Credit Union based on my experience with this radio project, not based upon a conference session, not based upon a white paper, not based upon a podcast for that matter. I would absolutely 100% go with very, very casual, very, very tasteful career wear. There's a picture from the Learning Center, and these are the trainers. They do all the new employee orientation. In the background, you can see on hangers, I think there's the blue sweaters, Life Simplified sweaters, the light blue. And it's beautiful. There's no other way to put it. And, you know, I'm looking at the people that work there, and when I worked with Chetco as a consultant, I remember the president, a gentleman, who said, we want people who are attractive in speech and in appearance. Now, some people hear that and go, well, what about people who aren't those things? Well, they don't need to work at the credit union. That's the point. If the 10 o'clock news can hire people for their appearance and their personality, I think a credit union or a banking brand or any brand for that matter can do the same thing. And so anyway, waiting and doing nothing. When Troy's not on, we don't have guests. I'm very, again, linear. I'm a guy. I got things and notes written down. But even though today was supposed to be a break from the Life Simplified Radio Project, it's not really. I've talked to, you know, Megan this morning, got an email from her during the show. It is a very, very intensive project. And so I've been spending more time in front of the computer. I don't sit in a cube. I don't sit in front of my computer all day if I can help it. But I've been here. I've been kind of tethered to this because this is where I have all the editing and stuff like that that I use. And so I've been checking email more often and Twitter more often, good and bad aspects to all of that. So again, real men, be a director, be a confident leader, make a decision. I mean, here we are going into 2015, 15 years. I remember when we were talking about Y2K at these conference seminars. We're 15 years into this post-20th century industrial economy, this new 21st century mobile marketplace. It's time to do some, to make some decisions, to make some maybe tough decisions. You know, the two credit unions that I've been working with very intensely, they just do everything they do everything the right way, and they don't attend a lot of. I mean, some of you guys attend 50,000 conferences every year. You can actually copy other credit unions. You can actually copy what they're doing because, of course, it's a collaborative, collective marketplace. I know there's value to conferences and webinars, and people have a certain number of hours of learning that perhaps they're compelled to attend based upon their job description at the credit union. But good grief, this project with South Carolina has been an eye-opener in so many areas. I never thought as a Gen Xer, Mr. Individuality, that I would ever find myself saying, if I were the president of a credit union, I would make us all dress alike. It seems so counter to the Gen X mindset. And again, as I always say, I'm also smart, part of the smallest generation, so maybe some of my attitudes about white papers and web stuff like that are based upon my generation, and maybe it is a minority view, but I do believe that confidence is now being equated with arrogance. I do believe that being bold is now equated with not planning well enough. I think those things are always rewarded. Boldness and leadership, and a lot of times it does. It comes from men, and so I think real men need to make real decisions about real things. And I think it was Monday Night Football. And there's Navy Federal Credit Union. I don't know if the president of Navy Federal Credit Union is a man or a woman. I think it's probably a gentleman. But if we got a female president at Navy tomorrow, would that make Navy Federal Credit Union a better credit union? I don't know. So anyway, it was just something I was thinking about. I've been thinking about it for a long time, the concept of being a leader and being inflexible about certain things. You know, Troy and I have done this show for 4.5 years. We were doing interviews with people that never thought they would do a radio show. And although I couldn't see Troy, I could hear him. And he was just very meticulous in describing things that needed to happen and that shouldn't happen, and they did happen, so we're going to start over. Just very, very interesting. I don't think that being a bold, decisive leader will ever go out of style. I don't think there's enough Twitter accounts in the world to render that something that doesn't have some value. Hey, when we get back from the break, we'll wrap it up and we'll talk about, not that many shows left for the balance of the year. We'll wrap it up right after this. That led off Life Simplified Radio. I'm broadcasting the last show tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll have all those shows posted online for the employees of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. These are private links. You can't stumble upon these. You can't just kind of come across them by search word or anything like that. These are private shows for South Carolina Federal Credit Union. And it's going to be a big deal. When I finally post that last link and I know everything is done, and then I think Thursday and Friday we'll get all of the pictures. Blog Talk Radio was great. I have nothing bad to say about Blog Talk Radio. For $99 a month, they allow me to do this show and other shows and private shows and internal podcasts and stuff like that. But they do not do images well. Then when you're posting pictures and stuff like that, that is not their strong suit. And you can't really blame them. Most people don't watch the computer while they're listening to a podcast. They're driving in the car. They're working out, whatever. But anyway, when I listen back to the show, I'm almost always in the car. So I would not want to sit there and look. But some people are going to watch these in a training environment. I think they can be modified into videos and look really, really good. The pictures are great. They're very, very charming. The interviews are charming. They capture people that are a little nervous and people that are totally confident, totally know what they're doing. You can tell when some people are maybe reading a little too much versus just kind of paraphrasing what they're looking at. But it is. It's a charming description of the diversity of personalities at a big credit union brand. And when you work alone from, you know, a home office 1,800 miles away, you need somebody who can be on the ground directing these live performances. And the director for all of this, speaking of real men, his name is Tough Talking Troy Hall. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. 21 minutes.
I'm sorry, I had a real job today, you know?
I said that on the show. He's a real man with a real job. But why does the studio audience always – you're the host, not the guest, but they always clap for you when you join the show in progress, but they never clap for me.
It's so great.
Weird.
I don't know. Well, maybe it's – I don't know. You do control the clapping, so you could always just press that button if you wanted.
That's true, if I wanted to, but I really need to. We've been talking about the Life Simplified Radio Project. Again, I just played the blue intro, and in the context of real men doing real things, I've been talking about how, because you were on the ground, because you were there looking and judging, you could see who was nervous, you could see who was ready, you were the director. And because I have to listen to all the stuff in between the shows, a lot of times that direction had to be very, very specific and to the point. And I think sometimes people misread that and have their feelings hurt by that, but it's necessary with the timelines that we were working with.
Well, it is, and I think that what you might be speaking to is the fact that you really need to do it's like a pre-call, like when we do the pre-call or you do some sort of setup, you know, it's helping individuals also understand the expectations. So there's several things that happen in the scenario the way I believe you were describing it, and that is, number one, you want to set up expectations for people, but secondly, you don't want them to be surprised about what's going to happen. So you basically are explaining, well, this is the way we see it happening, and so if this occurs, just be comfortable because that's not a big deal, it's not a problem, because they wouldn't be familiar with it. And I think that is the job of an individual who is a leader, a person who is trying to help prepare the performance and to make sure that the performance goes off. And it's not micromanaging, it's basically just preparing.
You were like the band director. You were like the band director preparing people.
Yeah, it was very interesting. If not micromanaging, would be actually looking over their shoulder and maybe pointing out or telling them or that would be the real problem. And so in this case, it was just about preparation. It was the other thing I've also learned too with communication, because one of the most important roles of a leader is not only to be able to encode the message, but also decode messaging. And many times leaders forget the second part of it. So they do a lot of work of encoding where they're spouting off information and they don't have enough opportunity or take enough time to say, well, okay, so how does that work for you? Or do you understand that? Do you have more questions? And part of that decoding means that you should be decoding it as it's actually being encoded and being, you know, presented. And so it just really creates a level of comfort for people to better understand and to also know that they're being in a participative conversation. The other thing is that it is very important for leaders to understand that when they want to get people up to speed, they need to condition their listening. Many individuals, when they enter into a conversation for the first time, just like when they enter into a culture, they pre-arrive to that culture with a specific sort of thinking as it's going to be this. And many of the individuals before we went to the interviews were extremely nervous, thinking it was going to be, because it was live, they sort of felt
nervous.
That it was live with people watching and staring and being very uncomfortable. Meanwhile, it was live in the sense that we were taping it and doing it as it occurred so we could get those nuances that were important, but it was really conversational. It's like sitting across the table from each other, and once they recognized that and they didn't have like a lot of equipment that was unusual for them to see, it really lightened up the load a little bit. But we really had to really recondition their listening so that they wouldn't be hyperventilating through the process.
I did all the hyperventilating, believe me. Before you joined the show, I talked about, again, real men making real decisions. I don't know who made this decision, but I just got finished admitting that if I were made the president of a credit union today, and one of my first decisions at a strategic planning session this month was, do we go with CareerWear, based upon my experience with your credit union, it would be 100% yes. I mean, it is. I'm looking at the pictures because we're going to put some pictures together with the audio, and there is something very, very professional about it. I kind of likened it to Southwest Airlines a bit. You don't have to wear exactly the same thing, but you have to have that color, that tempo, as you refer to it, of the brand. And I never dreamt as a Gen Xer with my individuality issues that I would ever want to be the president of a credit union with CareerWear, but I think it's one of the absolute strengths of the brand.
It is, and again, and for those people from marketing will certainly appreciate this and understand it, but you work hard to create a brand, so you have to protect it, and you want to make sure that the brand is always being positively represented. So for us, we attached the brand is really the behaviors of the individual as they interact with the consumer. Yeah. It is not the color of the marketing messaging. Now, we use the color because it signifies a single voice. It signifies unity. It also helps in people be in a environment because our financial centers have a very open process. We do an open dialogue. We don't have a lot of barriers by the traditional teller line. So there's a lot of interacting, and our staff is moving around. They're meeting and greeting folks. They're taking them from this location to that location. They're introducing them to other people. We needed to make sure that there was clarity between who was the consumer and who was the employee, so that when you were roaming through the facility, you didn't sort of you would know who to look to. So that was
right.
One of the reasons that we chose to go with that. We also find that based on our concentration within the marketplace, when our individuals go out into the marketplace, people recognize this and so they see the behavior of the individuals, and that helps them to decide to align values. You know, people do make decisions today based on how they are aligned by the values of the individuals they're working with. And so when they see that our team tips well, when they see that our team is respectful of the service workers, when they see that our team is considerate of individuals of age and therefore need to do something, or just considerate of other individuals who may need help, then they sort of get an opportunity to understand that the value system of the culture is one in which they might be able to better align with, and therefore would then consider us as a financial institution they would select, because they might use something other than just the economic values to make their decisions, but they will align with us on an emotional level as well. And so, and we understand that because we're a relational business, and we understand that people do want to relate to us on an emotional level, and so therefore we try to provide that.
The I wasn't sure I believed that about the emotional stuff until I heard the mortgage department talking about the anxiety that comes with borrowing a large sum of money. I've owned my home for over 10 years. I kind of forgot what that was like. So I absolutely agree with you. It sets, again, that tempo for the credit union, because you know who to talk to and people look well. We might have to go in just a few minutes of bonus time, because I had to ask you this. The other reason I called the show Real Men is one of my favorite moments on the show earlier this summer was when we had Molly Bell on from Filene, and we were kind of having some fun with her and that for the show. We're like, so what? We had a little bit of fun with our guest. Whoopee-doo. So what? I also noticed, and this is something that I mentioned when I was a consultant with Chetco, the president of that credit, who was also a gentleman, said that he wanted people that were attractive in appearance and speech. And that's something else that I can't escape when I'm looking at all the pictures of people. People are, they are attractive. I mean, they are neat. They are put together. They are professional. And as a guy, that, I mean, I'm paying attention to it. Isn't that the whole point of it?
Well, it is, but I will tell you this. When you, and I use this term lightly, but when you sort of standardize to some degree, what you do is you help people sometimes make good clothing choices that they may not be able to make on their own. The other thing is our hiring criteria is based on six core values, and one of the ones that we really focus on is positive attitude. The other five are basically skill. They're sort of like a skill-based or sort of like what you expect. But the positive attitude, you might expect it, but we put it out there. And so there's something about individuals who are positive about life, the way they show up. It doesn't really matter whether their hair is messed up that day or not. They just have this bright smile, or they have this way in which they show up. And you don't even think about it anymore because you're focused much more on the engagement of the individual. And the way. And we know that people with positive attitudes are more engaging. Research tells you people with more positive attitude are more engaging in the environment, more engaging in the work that they're doing than those individuals who are depressed or feel less confident. And we do want our representatives to be very confident in the way in which they perform, in the way in which they interact with individuals. And so as a result, it's you'll see that in the pictures.
I mentioned that earlier that a lot of times, you know, if you say, well, we want to hire people that are energetic and they're, well, what about people that don't have that personality? Well, then they can't work at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. They can work at the toll booth. They can work at Walgreens. They can work at Home Depot, but they can't work here.
Right, and the thing we look for is it's positive attitude. Now, positive attitude can come with an individual who might be less so, for instance, if you consider personality types, then you might say one is outgoing and one is an introvert and extrovert, so you might think of that. But the difference is that I'm not saying that introverts – have negative attitudes. I'm saying introverts can have a positive attitude. Extroverts can have a positive attitude. We're looking for people who have positive attitudes in the way in which they approach life, because that is the way in which they will approach decision-making. And we are in a business of problem-solving, and so we need individuals looking at a positive scope of trying to figure things out. We don't hire people who follow processes to make reasons to say no to consumers. We hire people who look at processes and follow policies to figure out ways to say yes to consumers. And it does come from the ability for the individual to interact from a positive standpoint versus a negative standpoint. So that's really what I wanted to try to clarify on that.
And there's no hiding it. When I'm looking at the pictures, you can tell people are, you know, happy to be doing what they're doing. Again, that positive ad. Hey, folks, I'm sorry. We're into bonus time. Just a little bit. I'm so glad you could jump on today. Like I said, this radio project has been mind-bending, but in a fun way. I've enjoyed being meticulous. I've enjoyed, you know, we have technical problems on this show sometimes. Imagine that every single day at times. I've had to rebroadcast some of the shows two or three times before I send you the link, but I've really, really enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yep, thank you. I look forward to talking to you next week as well. So just remember, I'm here from Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines.
That's right. And this has been the Power Performance, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
hotter, scorching hot, sizzling. Woohoo, baby.
Real men. Only one of us has a real job. But would your brand, like a band, leave the audience wanting more? Until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week.
That's all, folks.